From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Singer-songwriter Ray LaMontagne is out with a new album, Supernova, and it may not be what fans of his folk rock sound were expecting. LaMontagne has a Grammy, critical acclaim, a folk rock story, and a lot of big fans. Now he's going psychedelic. This hour On Point, Ray LaMontagne is with us with a new sound. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. Are you a fan of Ray LaMontagne? Did he catch your attention with Trouble and You Are the Best Thing with God Willin' and The Creek Don't Rise? What do you think of his new sound? We're at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Or join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Ray LaMontagne joins me now in our studio. He says a great Stephen Stills album set him on his musical road years ago. He broke through in 2004 with his terrific song and album, Trouble. Won Best Contemporary Folk Album Grammy in 2011 for God Willin' and The Creek Don't Rise. His fifth and latest studio album out this week is Supernova. Ray LaMontagne, thanks for joining us. It's great to have you right here.
Thanks, Tom. It's a pleasure to be with you.
This is really fun. So I love it that we catch you at a moment where you're changing style. And, you know, people are all, oh, my God, Ray LaMontagne is changing his style. Bob Dylan's gone electric. Jump out the windows. I mean, are your fans saying, what are you up to? Or... we love it, or a little of both?
I don't know yet.
Right. It's just out yesterday.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not... I don't pay attention. Deliberately, I don't pay attention to reviews or anything online, really.
So it's at the performance hall where you're going to find out.
It's the live shows. It's always been about the live shows for me, right from the beginning. I always knew that the stuff I was doing was outside of the box, and I knew it would have to be built on real live performances. That was the only way I was going to have a career.
You've got a 40 or 50 city tour coming up this summer, so you're going to have plenty of opportunity to feel the feedback from the crowd. What do you expect?
I think it's going to be just fine. I'm really excited about it. Putting together a great band, and really proud of this record. It was just a really fun batch of tunes to get. You know, songs just that they filter down to you. There's nothing intentional about writing songs, at least not for me. They either come to me or I do something else with my time. You know.
Yeah.
So when these started to filter through. It was just—it was exciting to me. I didn't know where the songs were going to go. I didn't know the structures weren't familiar to me.
I'm fascinated by how that happens, by how a change, of course, happens, and we're going to talk plenty about that. You know, we will have people who know your songbook inside and out, and others will be just catching up with it for the first time today. Right. So, if I may, I want to play a little bit from your first big hit song, "Trouble."
Okay.
Set it up just a little about how you wrote this song and what your circumstances were when you wrote it.
Well, when I wrote "Trouble," I was living in Maine at that time with my wife and my two boys.
Lewiston, Maine, I think.
No, we were up in the hills.
Oh, okay.
I was working with a carpenter and I bought some land, 60 acres of land, and we built a cabin there.
And were these your shoe factory days? I read something about that.
This was a good, 10 years past
okay.
then.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I'd built a couple cabins, one for us to live in, and then I built a small writing cabin where I could write songs. And I wrote all those songs for that record up in that little cabin.
And here came Trouble, 2004.
Trouble, bad dog in my school. The day I was born, worry just will not seem to leave my mind alone.
trouble. It's still a great sound. It's just a great sound. And everybody loved it. It's been on behind all kinds of TV shows, The Office and Rescue Me and on three different seasons on American Idol has been sung on The Voice.
It's crazy. I never would have expected that that song would have that song would have legs. And it pleases me so much that that song does, that people want to sing that song. I never would have expected that.
But, I mean, Trouble is a pretty well-known theme. Nobody knows what Trouble I've seen, like, forever. Human life is trouble, right?
And that's where that's, you know, that's the whole song was an exercise, you know. When I listen to it, I hear a young songwriter who loves the soul songs of the 60s and deconstructed them. And then realized, you know, as I did with all songwriting, you deconstruct it and then you realize, well, there's still something there that's intangible. There's something there that you can't, you either have it or you don't. So let's just work on, you know, trying to write a song that can stand on its own. Maybe you're emulating this type of song, this kind of song, a simple theme, a simple structure, but with an emotional truth in it.
And that will o' the wisp, that ineffable thing that makes it just go.
And that's the thing that you don't know. That's the unanswerable thing when you're first starting out. Do I have that thing? And you don't know that unless you play live and you find out the hard way.
And there it was, in Trouble, and everybody saw it. It's sold like crazy. It made Ray LaMontagne's name. Now here we are, 2014, and the album out this week is Supernova. And here's Lavender off Ray's psychedelic-tinged new album. Lie under a lavender sky, and I'm going to have to get down under this table to see if you're wearing bell bottoms. I mean, something else.
Actually, I do, but I'm not today. But I do, yeah.
I mean, you've got a kind of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds thing. Where did this come from?
I don't know really. I mean, I love early '60s Brit rock. You know, I love the Troggs. I love the Kinks. Yeah. The Zombies. Obviously, the Beatles. That goes without saying. Mm-hmm. I think anyone who loves songs loves the Beatles. Early Floyd. All this stuff was as much of an influence on me musically as Hank Williams and Willie Nelson to Bob Dylan to Neil Young to Joni Mitchell to Miles Davis to everything. I love all of it. If it's good, it's good. If it sounds good, it is good.
And yet, you opened up this spigot. I mean, it's a different spigot from what you were opening up for us before.
Yeah, I think I was ready for it. I mean, I had hinted at it in previous records. Gossip in the Grain, for instance, has a couple songs that hint at this. The song Gossip in the Grain, the song Meg White, which was an homage to the White Stripes. I Still Care for You. These songs, even Be Here Now on the second record, sort of hints at this sort of a richer sonic palette that surrounds the song. But this is the first time that I just... I opened myself up and sifted through the songs that were coming to me, because as I was explaining when we were off air, that songs just filter down to you.
Yeah.
And then it's my job to sift through them and latch onto the things that are compelling to me at the moment. And when Supernova came, when this song came, I knew that this was it. These were the types of melodies I was really going to hone in on.
You must be somehow in that opening up a different end of your own emotional palette, of your own character, when this comes out instead of Trouble, or, I mean, You Are the Best Thing. I was driving in today, and I had, just to remember the past, I had You Are the Best Thing blaring out my windows, and I drove past a subway where it's above ground, people standing there and, you know, waiting for the train. It was booming out my windows. That whole crowd started dancing to that very different sound from back then. I mean, it's just that infectious, but a different train. We'll look at that more. How much fun to be able to explore different parts. I mean, fun's too easy a word, but how interesting to explore different parts of your own temperament and emotional palette through music.
It was definitely something I needed to do. I was ready to do. And I was, again, there's no intention behind it. You can't intentionally sit down and write a song, say, I'm going to write a song like this today. You can't do that. It's impossible. They have to come to you. So that's the magic of it, though. That's the magic of it.
You had Dan Auerbach with Black Keys with you in Nashville for, I don't know, a dozen days to do this new album, Supernova. We're going to look at that whole process. There's little Elvis Costello in the story as well. Singer-songwriter Ray LaMontagne is with me in the studio this hour. We're talking about his brand new album, Supernova, and his turn from kind of folk rock to psychedelic. Other big hit of Ray LaMontagne's that you may know well, You Are the Best Thing, off of Gossip in the Grain, his 2008 album. Behind us right here, you can join us this hour. Are you a Ray LaMontagne fan? Have you swayed along with Trouble, rocked out with You Are the Best Thing? Are you ready to go a little psychedelic with LaMontagne? What's psychedelic mean to you, musically? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. It's great to have you here. We'll be right back. Tom Ashbrook with Ray LaMontagne. This is On Point. Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Singer-songwriter Ray LaMontagne is with us this hour. We're talking about his new album, Supernova. Behind us right here, Beg, Steal, or Borrow from the 2010 God Willin' and the Creek Don't Rise. Ray LaMontagne won a Grammy for Best Contemporary Folk Album with this album. Beg, Steal, or Borrow from that album. Now he's taken a kind of psychedelic turn, and it is very interesting to talk with an artist about a turn like that, to listen to the change. You can join the conversation this hour. Are you ready to go a little psychedelic with Ray LaMontagne? What's psychedelic mean to you musically? Are you psyched or cautious when an artist takes a turn, when a musician goes to a new sound? What do you hear in the new album, Supernova? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Ray LaMontagne is with me in the studio, and what a pleasure it is. There's a little bit of Elvis Costello story in the turn you've taken here. Tell us about that, if you would, Ray.
There is. Well, I met Elvis on his show, on his TV show. I've always admired Elvis. I've always admired his songs and him as an artist. We struck up a friendship. After that last record, I did about 2 years of touring for that record and came home and started digging through the new batches of things I was working on, the new melodies I had stacked up. I don't know, I was feeling a little weird about things. I was feeling a little, I don't want to say stuck because I never feel stuck. I've always got songs. Mm-hmm. And if I don't, I do something else. I go outside.
But what, they were too familiar? Like, been there, done that?
I think I could see the structures. I could see them being finished. You know, I could see where they wanted to go. And I was waiting for, I wanted something to surprise me. I just wanted something to surprise me. Mm-hmm. I wanted a song to excite me.
Not be too familiar. Not be too obvious where you were headed.
Right. I just, I wanted something that would really make me want to grab my guitar in the morning and get to work.
So how did Elvis Costello speak to that for you?
Well, I was the songs weren't coming. I was opening myself up for them. I was making I was making the time for them.
I
was sitting
in
my room, waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, I just I sent Elvis a long email just saying, "You must have been in a place like this before." I'm listening to listening to old records, touring this record of mine, and I just feel like I don't know if this is. I don't know how I feel about my place in the music business at the moment. I don't know where I belong. I don't know if I belong. I don't know if I'm relevant to anything.
Wow.
It was a strange...
That's a big ocean to get out on.
It was. It was a strange feeling. And Elvis very graciously wrote back a nice letter and I'll boil it down to him just basically... telling me that I am the only Ray LaMontagne there is. So I have to become comfortable with being Ray and allow myself to be comfortable with myself. And I know that, you know, it may sound like something, it was big for me because I wasn't thinking of it in that way. Everything gets compartmentalized in my brain. So I started to listen to Elvis's stuff again, and with especially listening to this year's Model, which is an astounding record.
That was his just second album back in 1978.
Crazy good, crazy good. And listening to it and hearing what he was telling me, sort of personified right there, sonically listening to this, unapologetically, Elvis being Elvis, you know.
Let us listen to that as we hear the story of how you made this turn. Here it is. What this is, Pump It Up, from one of the big songs from Elvis Costello's 1978 inspiration for Ray LaMontagne, this year's Model. You're headbanging along with that, and so am I. What did you hear there? Freedom, idiosyncrasy, historical reference?
I just heard an artist being themselves, you know, without no filter.
Yeah. You know, here's what I'm doing.
Right, no filter, you know. And it's what I admire about guys like Elvis and Neil Young, you know. They just follow it. They follow that inspiration. They follow the muse, and wherever it takes them.
So let's hear where it took you, if I may. Well, let's go straight to the title track of your new album out yesterday. Ray LaMontagne got a little inspiration, a little wisdom from Elvis Costello, took the turn. Here's the title track from Supernova. So you and me, we've been hanging out now ever since we were kids, just kicking around. There it is. That's wonderful. I mean, it starts out sounding a little John Mellencamp, and then you got that organ and chimes coming in there, a little British invasion.
You're giving away your age there.
Yes, well, but this is historically referenced throughout, isn't it? I mean, it's older than me, this stuff.
I would never reference John Mellencamp. I'm sorry.
Zoe, you and me have been hanging out now, and it just puts me in that zone. But what's your reference point?
I guess it's storytelling, really, you know, and it's just letting the song roll out, not filtering it too much, just letting the music pull something out of me, and then, but just not getting in the way of it, really, you know.
You took it to Nashville to record it, and I was reading that the arrangements were kind of done almost on the fly. How do you do that? Is that true?
Well, they were to an extent. I mean, Dan and I had a lot of conversations about what I was thinking and what was in my head. And he had very detailed, for me, demos that I had sent him.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a really clear roadmap, and we had talked about the sonic palette, you know, all the colors and the sounds that we were thinking about, and where I wanted my voice to be, and where I wanted my voice EQ'd, things like all these things I was thinking about. So we had a good roadmap.
And some time pressure. I mean,
I suppose, but that's how I like to work that way.
Yeah, why
so
not?
Does Dan. I mean, the best records, for me anyway, the ones that really hold up are the ones that capture a performance. When you can go back, you know, 30, 40 years and listen to a Dylan record and still hear the guys working their parts out during the take, to me, that's where it's at. I mean, that's the greatest.
Let's go to Nashville. Ray LaMontagne is with us. Jim is calling from Nashville, Tennessee. Jim, you're on the air with Ray.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, my interest comes from the songwriting point of view. I'm one of the thousands of unsung genius songwriters here in Nashville.
All right.
Hang in there, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, but Ray, I'm so impressed by, and I'm very pleased to hear about your songwriting process, that is, letting the song come to you instead of forcing the issue. That's the way I write, and may have everything to do with why I don't have anything successfully published and recorded yet. But
well,
you know,
maybe living in Nashville, trying it that way, that might be part of it.
So much of the mediocrity that a lot of us complain about in popular music these days. And I just want to congratulate you on earning the ability to do that, both for yourself and for your label. So, thanks, and keep it coming.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Hey, it's always good to get applause from Nashville. That's great. Jim, and good luck to you, Jim. Knock it out of the park, baby. Amy in Berea, you're welcome. Amy in Berea, Kentucky. You're on with Ray LaMontagne.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Ray.
Hi.
I just wanted to say I've listened to Ray's music for the past 10 years, and if his first album was folksy and Godwillin and the Creek Don't Rise was bluesy and jazzy, if the next one is funky psychedelic, I'll be right there with them, because you're just awesome, and it's always wonderful to listen to you.
Oh, thank you.
Terrific. Amy, thanks. Props from Berea and Jordan in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Jordan, you're on the air with Ray LaMontagne.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Ray.
Hi.
So good to talk with you. I've been a huge fan of your music for a very long time, and I really do like the new style that you've gone with for your new album, and my question is, I've been paying attention to music in the recent years. I play in a band, too. Actually, we're really close to Nashville as well. And the bands that I've been listening to recently, I feel a lot of them are taking inspiration from 60s psychedelic, specifically bands like Tame Impala and Temples and Unknown Mortal Orchestra and those types of bands. And I was just wondering your perspective on that, if you think that 60s psychedelic is kind of a movement that's coming back into a trend.
Gosh, I wish I could say I was tuned in enough to know those bands you're talking about, but I'm
Tame
just
Impala.
I'm just not. I'm sorry. I don't think I can answer that for you, because I just I wasn't really aware that there's a that psychedelic was on the way back, to be quite honest.
But you know, I wonder. It's interesting. I'm glad Jordan raises it. You know, it's like maybe it's like when young couples name their baby, and they think about the whole universe of names, and they come up with this name that just sounds perfect and it sounds so singular and unique. And then, you know, a couple of years later, you're at daycare, and it turns out there's five kids with that name. I mean, I wonder if it's just in the air somehow.
I don't know.
Maybe listening is the best way to know. Here's another cut from Supernova. This is Smashing.
Listen to the sound of the seaside crashing. Cloak on a hook in the hallway smashing. Red and yellow teacups tipping over clover. Half another pool cries a piping clover.
Hello, Beatles, again there. I mean, plenty of that sound in my ear anyway. Ray LaMontagne was smashing. Robert in Gloucester, Rhode Island. Robert, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom and Ray, thanks for taking my call. I can't help but notice that it seems like a natural transition from folk into what I was hearing in the first cut as early Jefferson Airplane, Quicksilver Messenger Service. Even Jerry Garcia played the banjo in the early days and then progressed to what I'm hearing right now. I was fortunate enough to be at Newport when Bob Dylan brought out his electric equipment.
Wow.
And I loved it. I was wondering, did you take anything from that era, the San Francisco Bay Area, mid-60s to late?
Well, I mean, maybe as much as, say, the Birds, you know? Flying Burrito Brothers, you know? Those are great records. Great records. That's probably the closest, you know. Even the, you know, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young records. There's a real raw and ragged sort of edge to those songs that I've always loved and admired.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Do you see a natural pathway from folk rock into the kind of psychedelic?
It feels natural. I certainly didn't intend anything, you know. I just follow the melodies, you know. If it's pulling at me, you know, if the songs are really pulling at me, then I know it's the right thing to do.
Cammy in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You're on with Ray LaMontagne.
Hi, Ray.
Hi.
I've been a fan of yours for many years. I teach at a university that's kind of like a school of rock in Oklahoma City, and I've even used some of your songs to help some of my vocalists kind of relax and just let the song be what it needs to be instead of over-singing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to compliment you on your comment about letting the songs go where they need to go instead of forcing them into a certain genre or style. Your fans really appreciate that, and I listened to your new record yesterday, and I actually wrote on Twitter before I knew you were going to be on that the album sounded familiar in a good way, even though it's new. So it still sounds like you, and it sounds,
yeah.
As long as you're being true to yourself, we recognize that and enjoy the music.
Well, thank you. It's very kind of you.
That's terrific, Cammy. Thank you very much. How great to be used by Cammy in Oklahoma for her vocal students letting go. I wonder if you had to let go a little bit of a discipline. I mean, the kind of discipline, intentional or environmental, of the sort of songs you were doing before. Was there a sort of freeing up moment?
There was. I mean, they're a lot more playful. You know, this batch of tunes was certainly more playful. They were fun to write.
Because the melodies in a lot of your earlier work, certainly the biggest hits, mm-hmm. are much more structured kind of progressive melodies. You can kind of hear at the beginning what the end is going to be like, whereas here you're soaring.
Right. They're more unpredictable, which is fun. You know, it's fun for me.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, there's still, I hope, enough of structure and interesting changes and sounds that they will each stand up on their own. I mean, I really do feel like each of the 10 songs on the record will stand on their own as as their own thing. You know,
it's just terrific, just terrific. Ray LaMontagne is with us. The new album is Supernova. It's taking a bit of a change here, and we're talking about it this hour with Ray LaMontagne in the studio. And what a pleasure it is. Listeners, you can join us. What do you hear in the new album? Pick up a gun here from Supernova. New album out yesterday. How do you change clothes, styles, musically, and keep your own voice? Have you done that? And is there a story here about change in life, about finding fulfillment, freshness through change? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Here's Pick Up a Gun from Supernova. Ray LaMontagne is with us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
you're gone, Rusty James. So rumble on, knives and chains.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking with singer-songwriter Ray LaMontagne this hour about his new album, Supernova, and his turn from folk rock to psychedelic. Some other colorations in there, too, behind us right here, Airwaves, off the new album. Ray LaMontagne is with me in the studio, and you can join us, 800-423-8255. It's a wonderful story about change and how it comes to us, new sounds, new ways. A lot of big Ray LaMontagne fans will hear it in this new album. Ray, we've got callers lined up front to back for you. Let's just go there. Dean in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Dean, you're on with Ray.
Tom, Ray, love your show, Tom. Ray, I salute you for daring to be different.
Thanks, Dean.
I come from the music industry. I slugged out at Nashville for 20 years. Mm-hmm. I count myself very fortunate to have made a living as a sound guy that transitioned into studio production. So I'm solidly middle-aged now, and I'm working with a young singer-songwriter that I think is terrific, and he writes Americana. So my question for you, Ray, is what would you advise singer-songwriters in regard to relationships with labels nowadays? I mean, how do you see the relationship between artist and label? I mean, I'm really wondering at times whether labels are really of much good anymore. So that's my question to you. It's all about the music business.
The biz.
Take that and run with it.
Got it, Dean. Thanks. Ray, what do you say?
Boy, well, I would say you really have to trust your gut when you meet these guys. I've been so fortunate to work with everyone at RCA. They've been so good to me. I found that a lot of that stuff is overblown. About the music industry being, whatever.
Cutthroat, dirty,
and all that stuff. I mean, it really depends on your relationship with them. And I don't know. I've really had. I've been really fortunate.
Does the label still matter?
I think they do. I think
even
they
with all
job.
The avenues out to the public now and do it yourself and everything else.
I feel like they're definitely swimming upstream. I mean, they have a tough job. They have a tough job, and I mean, I don't understand the music, that side of the music business. I mean, I know that you don't have to buy records anymore. I've known that for ages, so really for me, I kind of feel for them. I mean, they have a tough job trying to figure this out, how to work within this new reality of the internet and free music. Everything is free. I wish I could sell records,
It'd be nice.
Really. I mean, I work really hard and I would love to be able to sell something physical and have it actually, mean something.
But so much is the tour now. There's kind of endless tour.
Oh, it's all the tour. Mm-hmm. It's all the tour and publishing if you're really lucky. Mm-hmm. But, I've been really supported by the guys at RCA. They allow me to make the records I want to make and then... And then they do their bit,
Can we take that question even maybe a little deeper, more fundamental level? Here, Hunt writes to us. She says, would you say to a 15-year-old musician, she, trying to follow her muse, any words of wisdom, inspiration, advice in the climate of today's music world would be deeply appreciated. There's a 15-year-old who's going to hang on your advice.
Oh, gosh, that's tough. Just... Listen to the great songwriters. Listen to the great songwriters, and don't try to imitate them. But you can certainly emulate them. I mean, you have to learn from them. They're your teachers. I mean, these great records aren't great records for no reason.
This is back. I've read you about Dylan and Neil Young and the band and Nina
Mitchell,
Simone and Lead Belly and Otis Redding and Joni Mitchell.
Right. They're not great records for no reason. They don't stand up, for 50 years for no reason. Mm-hmm. These are great records. But you have to find your own voice within that. I mean, you can be so inspired and you can learn so much from these great teachers. But in the end, you have to find your own voice And then the only other thing is you've just got to get out there and try. You just got to get out there and sing for people. And if they gravitate towards you, wonderful.
Let me, maybe to help Hunt in another layer here, let me roll your personal tape back. I love interactive radio because we get all this, you know, on air and online. Here's a comment from Melissa. She says, "Hi, Ray. This is Melissa from Solar Fest. Do you remember being in Middletown Springs, Vermont in 1998? You competed in our first songwriter competition, and you did not win."
That's right.
She says, "I remember being blown away by your voice and your utter commitment to your music, and have been so happy for your success ever since, and really wished that our panel of judges had seen your truth." It's a much younger Ray LaMontagne who was in the under
that's
the
like a 26-year-old
yes,
Ray LaMontagne.
Yes, yeah.
I drove out there in a Yugo. Do you remember Yugos? Oh,
barely. It was a Yugoslavian right. Fall apart car.
They're like all plastic. They're like go-karts. Oh, I drove out there in a Yugo.
And did not win. What was it like to take your truth to that stage? And then no.
I was just, you know, as I was just telling this young gal, that's what you have to do. You've got to get in front of an audience somehow and see if it works. And I remember that the guy who won was very gregarious, and arms
working
in the
crowd,
arms in the air.
And what was your
affect, the whole
man?
Thing? Head down, right. Sing the effing song with guts.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Give it to him. You know, like it's a fist fight.
Yeah,
give it to him.
Yeah,
that's what I did, and they didn't appreciate it.
I mean, you have had a reputation at times as almost a Bon Iver kind of recluse, and you've said yourself you were. And maybe as a result of experiences like that, when you were just kind of scrappy, like, they don't appreciate me. And
well, it wasn't so much they don't appreciate me. It's not that. It's that I just feel like if you get on stage, you got to give it to them. You got to give everything, you know. You have to believe, you know, whatever emotional things, visceral things that song stirs up in you, you have to make it stir something up in them. And you can't, I mean, there's no faking it. You've got to get out there and you've got to. You have to live it. You have to feel it, you know, probably much like an actor must have to do, you know.
I can relate in some small way. Let's keep this new album in our ears here from Supernova, brand new. This is Drive-In Movies, the latest from Ray LaMontagne. Drive-In Movies from Supernova. Little 50s, 60s nostalgia there. Cigarette behind my ear, leaning up against a muscle car, wanting to look like Marlon Brando. You'll have a whole generation who can remember all those feelings very well out there. It's awesome. Is that your nostalgia or somebody else's?
Well, it is mine. It is mine. When we lived in Nebraska, my Uncle Bob used to take us to the drive-in, and we would... He would sneak us in, so he'd, you know, one of us would be down on the floorboards covered up in a blanket.
A little cheaper that way.
Some other ones would be in the back of the pickup covered up with, you know, blankets or tires or whatever it is. And we'd go in and just have a blast. I mean, it was just a blast being a kid at the drive-in. A blast.
Man. Nothing better.
No, nothing. I mean, in Nebraska in the summertime, I mean, just...
Finally cools down a little when it gets late. I remember doing that with my father. And one time the movie was Easy Rider, and my dad, you know, as the movie, he didn't know what we were getting into. And as the movie went on, and pretty soon they're down in New Orleans and they're partying in the cemetery and everybody's way out there and stoned. And my father's like, we're sitting in lawn chairs, you know, outside the car at the drive-in. He's like, where have we come here? Where have I taken? But boy, what a great scene. Norbert in Nashville. Norbert, thanks for calling. You're on the air with Ray LaMontagne.
Hi, Tom. What a great conversation this is. First of all, shout out to the RCA people in New York. I work for Sony Music for Columbia Records down here. And Ray, this is just a random call, but I was really intrigued because I was driving in the car the other day and my 13-year-old daughter identified Supernova on the radio and said, that's Ray LaMontagne. And it was out of nowhere. And I think that, you know, your voice, you know, the brand of your voice and what you're doing is... it's credible, it's worth it. You know, the question at the front end of the conversation when you're questioning yourself was really just interesting to me, because what you got right now is really, it is supernova. It's great stuff. And I just wanted to make that comment and say it's very relevant. And, you know, we're hearing it on the radio, and the young people are hearing it, and they know who you are. So...
Well, thank
I wanted
you.
To tell you that.
That's very kind of you.
That's thank all
you.
Good. That bodes well.
It does.
Norbert, no, thank you very much. Good. Pete in Watertown, Connecticut. Pete, you're on.
Hey, Tom. Ray, what you're doing here is really, really good. I see the transition you're making, and as an artist myself, I tend to go with the flow, and I think that's key, and what you're doing is just great. The sound is really neat. Reminds me of the old Floyd, the old good stuff there, and it's nice to see someone new doing it. Someone doing it other than Floyd, continuing that sort of vibe. It's really great, and good luck to you in the future.
Well,
and keep up the good job.
Thanks.
And
I'm glad you like it. Really,
Pete, terrific.
Yeah,
thanks for your call, Pete. Let me get one more track in here, if I may, off Supernova. This one, I just love this. Very Neil Young sound right here, to me anyway. Ojai, O-J-I-A-I, California style. Supernova. You didn't set out to be a singer. You just wanted to be a songwriter, I've read. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, I set out to, I mean, I don't know. I hoped. I thought that was probably the most realistic option, was that that I may be able to get to a point where I could work for a publisher, write songs and send them in, and hopefully have other people cut them. And even when I signed my first publishing deal, I kind of felt like that's the way it was going to go, you know.
And who said to you, Ray, cut it out, sing it yourself? Or did you say it to yourself?
You know, I think it was the publisher. I mean, it was Kenny McPherson, Jamie Serretta at Chrysalis Music at the time. And Kenny is really unique, I think, in the business, in that he can see through rough demos to the core of the artist that's bringing the demos to him.
That's
and I could feel that he believed in me. Those guys really believed in me, Kenny and Jamie, right from the beginning. And we're talking about a, you know, 28, 29 year old guy who's no poster boy coming into the music business. You know, I mean, all those things are realities. You know, you have to think about this stuff, or at least I did.
Yeah.
When I first started, I thought the way the music business is, it's as much about the look as the music almost, and I just felt, you know, there's no way I'm gonna do this.
Come on, Marlon Brando.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, looking at you right now, you look like you carry it just fine.
Well,
friend.
I mean, I am
handsome,
you know,
beard. Right?
I am who I am. You know, I am myself. You know, but I knew that was a reality. You know, that I wasn't 18 coming in with a song, or 20 coming in with a song and great looking, and you know,
and so, they heard it anyway.
You know, but these guys, Kenny and Jamie, they heard it, you know, and they gave me a shot. And once I had that shot, I went for it.
Yeah.
I just went for it.
Yes, you did. Adam in Washington, D.C. Adam, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Thanks, Dom and Ray. Ray, a longtime fan, calling from D.C., but grew up in Marshall, Mass. But I wanted to ask you, also growing up in New England, how much that impacted your writing style and definitely your songs, because I hear it in some of your songs.
New Hampshire like born, a lot of time in Maine. I'm sorry, Adam, but yes, indeed, the New England root here.
I don't think I could quantify that, you know. I mean, we moved so much growing up. Utah, Nebraska, Tennessee, spent some time in Minnesota, and then bouncing all over New England. I'm not sure I could quantify it. I mean, I couldn't. It's all just part of who I am. I know I feel at home in New England more than I do anywhere else. The colonial architecture, the history. I am a nut about early colonial houses. Just, I become giddy, you know, almost the same as when I see an old, you know.
And you're on the Berkshire foothills now, so you've got plenty. You've got plenty.
Yeah, I just, I go nuts about it. I just think it's the most beautiful. Those old homes are just gorgeous, and they're built to last. The craftsmanship is so gorgeous.
I think I hear something of what Adam's going at. There's something both hard and sweet at the same time, which to me is part of the New England formula.
There's a toughness. You know? I mean, spring is short, summer is shorter.
Yeah.
Fall is very brief and very beautiful, and then you settle in for that, you know, for the long, cold winter.
Hey, you've taken this turn now, and we've heard it, many of us, for the first time in this hour. What does that mean? This is your new turf, your new continent, or now you're free to take it on to some other zone next time out? What do you expect?
Well, I'm already working on another batch of songs and feeling really energized and really excited about writing. I have so many new songs right now pulling at me and wanting my attention, but I have to rehearse and get this tour underway.
Right.
But I'm really excited about I'm already thinking about the next batch of songs, and there's some killers in there that are just, I can't wait to dig into.
46 cities between here and Seattle. It's going to be a big summer for Ray LaMontagne. A lot of people are going to hear Supernova. Ray, how wonderful to meet you in person. Thanks so much for coming in.
You too.
You even listened to the show, this show, I understand, so it's double great.
I admire your show so very much, Tom. You have no idea. I really do.
Well, listen, we admire your music, just love it. This is a great new sound, and we wish you luck with it. Ray LaMontagne, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks, Tom.
Here's She's the One from Supernova. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
I just got to get to know that girl.